Genesis 29, 27. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. Jacob did so, fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise. Amen. For his word tonight. Come on, let's bless him. Don't hate being hated. The story of Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, amen, it begins with their father, amen, whose name was Laban, amen. The father of Jacob, of Leah and Rachel was Laban, amen. He promised Jacob that he could marry Rachel. Amen. He promised him. We know that Jacob came to find a wife and he met Rachel. Amen. As he came into the city at the well, praise God. And the Bible says that he desired to marry her. Amen. He was family to Laban. Praise God. And so he wanted to marry her. And Laban promised Jacob that he could marry Rachel. Now, Rachel was the youngest out of the two. And the Bible says that she was beautiful and good to look at. Amen. Leah was the eldest daughter, the oldest, and the Bible said that she had weak eyes. That is literally, amen, it says she was tender-eyed, but that is interpreted weak eyes. So we know that there was an issue, amen, with Leah's vision, with her eyesight, amen. Her eyes were weak, and she was the oldest. And Laban told Jacob that he could have Rachel to marry, but that he would have to serve him for 7 years. And so if he would serve Laban for 7 years, then he could have Rachel, amen. And the Bible says that he, amen, served Laban for 7 years, and it only seemed like a few days to Jacob, amen. Now that's real love, amen. He loved her so much that 7 years felt like a few days, amen. Praise God. That's a big commitment, amen. That's a long time, amen. But in other words, it went by really quick. It felt like that it didn't last long, and it was worth the labor, amen. Now you understand that Jacob did not get any pay. He did not get any compensation, amen, with wages, only room and board. And so he worked for 7 years, amen, just to have a place to stay, amen, and something to eat. So after the 7 years was up, the Bible says that Jacob, amen, prepared a wedding feast. He invited guests and brought, amen, folks there to celebrate, amen, his marriage with Rachel. Amen. And so the Bible tells us, amen, that as it came to the night of the wedding, amen, that they were celebrating the feast, that the Bible says that Laban gave Leah to Jacob instead of Rachel. Amen. And so you've got to understand, amen, and the Bible says, amen, that he did not recognize or realize that he had been duped until the next morning. Amen. And you say, how is that possible? First of all, you got to understand the custom was that he didn't, just because he was there working for, amen, Laban and in Rachel's household and family for 7 years, he didn't get to spend a lot of time with Rachel. It was the custom. They didn't get to hang out. They didn't get to go, amen, on dates. They didn't get to go be by themselves. Amen. It wasn't like that. Also, the custom was for the bride to wear a veil over her face, amen, all the way through amen, the whole beginning of the feast, amen, until they went in to consummate the marriage. By the time that, and so here she is veiled. Obviously, she was about the same size as Rachel, amen. So here she is veiled all this time, amen. They go in and realize that it was nightfall, and it became night. They didn't have lamps. They didn't have TVs. They didn't have stuff to light up. There was no solar lighting. There wasn't a lot of windows, amen. There probably wasn't any windows in that inner chamber where they were at, amen. So it was dark, amen. There might have been a candle or a little lamp, oil lamp or something, amen. Amen. But Lord, Jacob was so excited. He'd been waiting 7 years, amen, to be with Rachel. Praise God. So he really wasn't concerned with looking at her face. You understand what I'm saying? Let's just be realistic, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it was dark and all of these things, amen. He did not realize until he woke up the next morning and the, amen, the sun came up and the daylight came in and he realized, whoa, wait a minute, amen, this is not Rachel. Now Leah probably didn't see him very well, amen, because her eyes were weak, amen. And then he realized that he had been duped. So he goes to Laban, amen, and he says, you were supposed to give me Rachel and you gave me Leah. And Jacob said, it is the custom to give the eldest before the youngest. So we don't give the youngest daughter until the eldest daughter is already been given in marriage. Amen. So he said, if you will fulfill this wedding week, there was the celebration was 7 days long. Amen. That was the custom. He said, if you will fulfill Leah's week, in other words, if you'll celebrate, amen, and continue, amen, with Leah for that week, he said, I will give you Rachel, amen, as your wife as well, but you must work for me for 7 more years, amen. So understand, amen, that Rachel was the love of Jacob's life. Jacob loved Rachel, so he agreed to that, amen. He fulfilled that wedding week, and the Bible says that when that 7 days was fulfilled, that he went in with Rachel, and he slept with Rachel, and after he slept with Rachel, amen, he realized he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. Are you with me? Amen. Praise God. And so he went in, praise God, slept with her, and he loved her more than Leah. He served Laban another 7 years. Amen. So that's just a real quick scenario of the details of what was happening here in this particular, amen, story in Jacob's life. And so now Jacob has Leah and Rachel. Amen. Rachel was beautiful and easy on the eyes, and Leah was not very good. Her eyes were not very good. The Bible doesn't tell us, amen, that she wasn't beautiful, but she was flawed. Are you with me? Amen. Her eyes were weak. And so now he had both of them, but he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And the Bible says that the Lord saw that Leah was hated and he made her fertile. He saw, amen, that she was despised and he made her fertile. But Rachel remained childless. Now let's remember that in the, amen, the Jewish custom and understanding, if a woman could not bear children, it was a curse upon her. She was considered cursed, amen. So we see, amen, now, amen, that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, but Leah, amen, was fertile, but the Lord made her fertile, and Rachel was childless. She was not able to bear children. Now we don't see a whole lot more about Leah's life. Leah's life isn't talked about much because what was significant about Leah, amen, was what was born out of her. That was what was significant about Leah. So we don't hear a whole lot more about Leah's life. Amen. But I want you to understand that the process in which something had to be birthed in her was not a good thing. Amen. The process in which she had to bring forth, amen, these children wasn't good. Amen. It wasn't one that most people would would envy. Most people would not envy, amen, Leah in the situation that she was in. Most people wouldn't volunteer for that. Why? Because she was hated. Amen. The Bible says that she was hated. Amen. And so I don't think many of us would volunteer, amen, to be hated. I don't think that anybody got up this morning, amen, looking for ways to be hated. How can I be hated today? What can I do in order to, amen, be rejected today? We didn't set out thinking, man, how could I accomplish being hated? Why? Because no one wants to be defined as someone who was hated. Amen. The description in the word is that Rachel was beautiful. Amen. But Leah was, amen, weak in her eyes. Rachel was very well loved. Leah was hated. That's the description of Leah in the word. I wouldn't want to be remembered, amen, as someone who was hated. Are you with me tonight? Stay with me for just a few minutes. Amen. So we have to ask this question. I think this, amen, causes us to ask this question. Is it better to be loved and barren or to be hated and fruitful? Is it better to be loved and barren or hated and fruitful? I think that's the question, amen, that's imperative as we set, amen, to go forth in looking at this scripture. You see, I want you to understand, and we realize that life puts us in situations with circumstances that we don't get to choose. Amen, life puts us in situations and predicaments, amen, that we don't get to choose whether or not we have to deal with it. Amen. It's not an option. It is just a situation and a circumstance that life presents to us. Amen. And I don't know if anybody, amen, that we don't go out of our way to get rejected, to get neglected, or to be abandoned. Nobody goes out of their way to be cast out. Nobody goes out of their way to be hated. Nobody goes out of their way to be left alone or to be abandoned. Are you with me? Imagine in the household, amen, when Jacob and Rachel and Leah were living and going about their business, as Jacob would work, amen, and labor, he would come home. Hallelujah. His eyes would light up when he would see Rachel. Hallelujah. Amen. And he might say hello to Leah. He might, amen. The Bible doesn't say that he was mean to her, but he hated her. He did not love her. That means he rejected her. Hallelujah. She was his last choice. Amen. Rachel was his preference. So you gotta know, amen, that there was some feeling in the house of abandonment, that there was some feeling of rejection, amen, when it come to Leah, amen. And life has a way of just putting us in storms, amen. Life has a way of just putting us right in the middle, amen. Hurricane Debbie, hallelujah, she's standing up right now. Hurricane Debbie, amen, hallelujah, is, amen, running, praise God, at her course, and causing a lot of, amen, storms, and causing a lot of changes, and causing a lot of people to fret over their vacation plans. A lot of people worried about losing money that they paid, amen, for a vacation, right in the path of a hurricane, right in the path of storms. I got friends this week on Facebook, amen, who are over, amen, on vacation, and their pictures are all rain and clouds and wind, and they're sitting on the inside of their condo on the balcony watching it rain. The beach is empty. Ain't nobody signed up or paid, amen, for that kind of vacation. Are you with me? But how many knows that we don't get to change that? That's something that comes and we don't have any say so in those storms. Hallelujah. But here's what I want us to understand tonight. There's a lot we can say about the storms of life. There's a lot that we can say about the effects, amen, of a storm. Hallelujah. But I want us to be reminded tonight that we cannot focus bitterness, on the hate and the rejection and the trouble that comes from the storm. Amen. That is caused by the storm. Are you with me? We can't focus on the things, amen, that is caused by the storm, but we have to focus on the fruit that comes out of the storm. Come on, somebody calls, amen, Hurricane Debbie might be in full swing right now, but she's going out. She eventually will go out of the way and make her way out back on the water. Hallelujah. So be encouraged tonight that the storm that you might be in, it's not going to last forever. It's not meant to be, hallelujah, longer. Come on, somebody help me. So you can't, amen, and I get it. You feel, hallelujah, rejected. You feel abandoned. You feel, amen, all of these things, hallelujah, and they're real. You're experiencing, amen, hallelujah, these burdens because of the storm. But don't focus on that. Focus on the fruit that's going to come because of the storm. See, nobody wants to be like Leah. Nobody wants to be hated. Nobody wants to be in the house, be rejected and abandoned. But we want to be effective like she is, don't we? We want to have the effect, amen, on the future. Hallelujah, like she does. Hallelujah. But in order to do that, there will be pain. There will be disappointment. And there will be sorrow to endure and overcome. Hallelujah. Stay with me. I won't keep you longer than I'm supposed to. But if you stay steadfast, if you stay faithful, hallelujah, if you stay consistent in your serving the Lord, something is going to be birthed in you that's going to affect the world. Oh, come on, somebody. Because you see, the storm ain't about us. Hallelujah, but it's about the glory of God. The bigger picture. Come on, somebody. Do we hear that? We say, use me, Lord. Here I am. Let me be a vessel for you. God, let me walk in the vision and the dream. Let my gifts be released in my life. And God's like, okay, here you go. If that's the case, there's going to have to be some stuff. There's going to have to be some pain. But if you will remain steadfast through all of that, he said, I'm going to birth something in you that's going to be so detrimental, not only to your life, but to those around you. Can I put that in hillbilly terms? We have no way of knowing the revival effect that's going to come from the pain that we are going through right now. Some of you are in some stuff. I'm right there with you. I don't have a message out of it yet. I still got the mess. But through it all, he's still faithful. Through it all, he's still God. Well, I don't understand it. He said, you don't have to. You just have to trust me in the process. When I don't feel like I can make it, he said, you don't have to. I've got you. Because when you're weak, my strength is made perfect. In what? Somebody help me. We don't like being pruned, but we like the fruit that comes from the pruning process. Somebody said something to me, and a preacher said, when something is pruned, it's ugly. When you cut away branches that used to bear fruit, that used to bear blooms and flowers, but you cut them away, very few people go by and say, wow, that's a pretty tree. Matter of fact, most people would judge the tree and say, why doesn't that tree have fruit? Why is that tree, why is this tree full of blooms and blossom and full of fruit, but that tree looks dead? Because sometimes there's a pruning. But what that does is it just makes for the tree to bring forth in the next season more fruit. Come on, somebody. Healthy fruit. Hallelujah. Bigger blooms. Come on, somebody. Do you hear that? So right now, you may look in the spiritual mirror and feel ugly. You may feel like you're weak-eyed, like everybody else is loved more than you. You may feel left out, abandoned, and rejected. You may feel like this word is not clinging to you, that these promises are not your yes and your amen. But I tell you, hallelujah, amen, you just be faithful. You just remain steadfast. You do all that you know to do, and then just stand. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. Leah was mistreated. She did not ask for this life that she was living. But you see, her dad saw an opportunity to make a profit from her. Come on, somebody. As he watched Laban work for Rachel, he's like, well, wait a minute. He's willing to work 7 years. He's willing to work 14. So he's willing to work 7, and he really loves her. He'll work 7 more. Come on, somebody. Teach me, Lord. Use me, Lord. I love you, Lord. He saw an opportunity to profit from her. And see, you don't understand. She had to comply. She didn't have a choice. That's just how it was then.
Yep.
Dad made that decision. That's just how it was. Jacob was paying that dowry. Amen? So she gets put into unnecessary rejection. Nowhere does the Bible tell us that she was a bad daughter. That she was an embarrassment to her family. Nowhere does it say that she was deserving of that kind of rejection. But life dealt her a hard blow.
Mm-hmm.
And she was taken advantage of. She was mistreated. She had to live through it, even though she didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I show up, I put up, I give up, I stand up, I wait, I trust, I believe, I speak, I pray. Come on, are you with me? And I'm sharing this. What did I do to cause this to happen? Why am I going through this abandonment, this rejection? This is not what I dreamed of. This is not my vision. This is not what I signed up for. I don't think Leah's goal in life was to have a husband who hated her and a sister that she had to compete with. They say girls dream of growing up, getting married, picket fence, but a husband and children. I don't think that was her dream.
No.
Nobody dreams. No woman dreams of marrying a husband who hates her.
Right.
Then have to compete for his attention with her own sister and her own family to be mistreated. But when God saw how she was treated,
mm-hmm.
He blessed her. When God saw how Leah was being treated, the Bible says she was blessed. And I want somebody in here tonight to know that God sees how you've been treated.
Yes, he does.
I need somebody to hear me tonight. I had another thought. It was going to go a completely different direction. Amen, for a message tonight. And God spoke this to me. He took me, amen, to this passage of scripture. And so I need somebody to understand that God sees what you've already been through. I said, God sees what you've already experienced. God sees all that you have yet to endure. He sees that it's not over yet. Help me. He sees that it's not finished yet. Hallelujah. But I want you to hear him tonight. Hallelujah. When he saw how Leah was treated, he blessed her. Because she was hated, he blessed her. And he sees how you've been treated. He sees what the enemy has brought your way. He sees the storms and the pain and the disappointment and the trials and the rejection and the abandonment. He sees, amen, the hate from the enemy. And because of that, he's going to bless you. He just isn't sitting back. See, he sees what you still have to go through. He knows what's coming tomorrow. He knows when this thing is going to end. Good blessing, help me, Jesus. See, what we do is we get our eyes on the gift. We get our eyes on the answer. We get our eyes on the breakthrough. And we focus on the fact that it's not there. But we can't focus on the breakthrough. We got to focus on the giver of the breakthrough, who is right there. He said, I am near to those with a broken heart. He said, I won't ever leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So when we get our eyes and our focus off of the gift and get our eyes on the giver, he's close. Amen. And if he is there, the gift and the breakthrough is on the way. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me in this place? We may not see it yet, but he's right there. We may not feel it, but we got to trust that he is faithful to stand. I've got a feeling today. He isn't just sitting back watching. Oh, you made another day. Good for you. Good job. He's not just sitting back watching. He sees how you're being treated. Come on, somebody. He's about to open up something. Glory to God. I said he sees. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. He sees how you've been treated. So he's not just sitting back watching, amen, but he's going to open up doors of blessing as you remain faithful, as you praise him when it don't make sense, as you worship when you're weary, as you show up when you could stay back, as you persist when you could give up, as you're consistent when you could become complacent. God said, I'm about ready to open doors of blessing. I see how you've been treated. I see what you've been through. And I know it ain't over yet, but I'm not going to let it slip by. Oh, God, somebody help me. There's about to be an anointing that's going to come out. Oh, God, somebody help me in this place. I feel on a Thursday night. Hallelujah. Don't hate being hated. Because when you're hated, God is going to birth something new. Move. He'll start taking all that is against you. He'll make it work for you. He don't waste pain. Never. So he's going to make that pain pay you back. Ooh, hallelujah. He's going to make that hate, that rejection, that mistreatment, that neglect, that abandonment, he's going to make that, hallelujah, worth your while. He's going to make that compensate you. Hallelujah, because what a thief steals, he's got to give back seven times. God, somebody help me. Hallelujah. Let him that soul steal no more. But when he gives it back, better in the end.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Every time.
Come on. Hear me now. You'll come out better in the end. Not because of who you are, but because of how you were treated. Come on, hallelujah. It's not because of who you are. Amen. Because none of us deserve any of the blessing. Even though we endure the pain and the suffering, none of us deserve, amen, anything other than salvation. But he's going to bless you, amen, better in the end than it was in the beginning. Not because of who you are, but because of how you were treated. Oh, I feel that tonight. Anybody with me?
Yes.
He's going to open your womb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talking spiritual now.
Yeah.
He's going to open your womb and birth things in you that will make the enemy regret.
Amen.
Regret he ever touched your marriage. Regret he ever messed with your family. Regret that he ever put his hand on your finances. Regret that he ever tried to make you sick. Regret that he ever tried to convince you that you were going down and that you were worthless and of no value. He's going to make the enemy regret that he ever took the time. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at your neighbor and say, don't hate being hated. Tell somebody something tonight. God sees you. And he's going to comfort you. And he's about to do a work in you. Oh, touch your neighbor. Say, he's about to work it in you. Oh, come on. I know you don't feel it. I don't feel it. I don't feel breakthrough. Come on. I'm telling you. I'm being honest. I don't feel breakthrough. But I know that the giver of breakthrough is beside me. I know that he's with me. I know that when I lift my hands and I praise him, he said, I come. I'm going to show up every time. So I may not see how he's going to do it. I may not know when it's going to happen. But I know if I keep my focus on the giver, that the breakthrough is going to come in his time. There's anointing that's coming from this treatment. Let me tell you something. You're pruned if you do, you're pruned if you don't. So do.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, and make it worth it.
Yes.
Do. And make it count for something. Come on, somebody, help me. In this way. Preach it when you don't feel like it's working. Sing it when you don't feel like it's changing anything in you. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? There's anointing coming from the treatment. And that anointing is not going to come because you're qualified for it. Come on. I said that anointing is not going to come because you're qualified, but what you've been through is going to qualify you. might get that next Thursday. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing that you can be that will qualify you for the anointing. Hallelujah. But what you're going through, the treatment that you are enduring, is going to qualify you for an anointing. Come on, somebody, do this here. Hallelujah. Fresh. I said, God, if you don't do anything, send the fire. God, if you don't change anything, we still need the fire. Breathe on us, Holy Ghost. Things that you've had to deal with, you have no control over. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's not obvious to you by now. I don't know how to help you. Come on. When the prayer doesn't take away the struggle, then the struggle is meant to stay. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about the rejection. I'm talking about the trial. I'm talking about, amen, the temptation. I'm talking about, you said, but God said he wouldn't put no more upon you, that he would make a way of escape. Well, the way he's been made, it's just not time to get out yet. Maybe you got to hang out a little bit longer. Come on. So the things that you had to experience and to endure, you had no control over. The things that tried to throw you away, to make you feel invaluable, to make you feel invisible, to make you feel incompetent, to make you feel unloved, undeserved. Come on. Talk about Leah's life. She didn't sign up for it. It wasn't the life she dreamed of, but it's what she was given to deal with. Come on, but God saw her. He saw she was hated. He saw that she was not loved. And the only open door that she was going to get was from God. You'll get that a little bit later as well. See, because here's the thing. God uses the hate to push you into prayer. He uses the hate to push you into a deeper praise. Why? So you won't get bitter. I'm done even trying to get better. I just want it to be right. I'm not looking for it to get better anymore. I just want it to be right. I just want it to be the way God needs it to be. Have me, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. God, take from me anything. Come on, somebody, can you hear me? Because I refuse to get bitter. I refuse to take on that persona of bitterness. Come on, somebody. Because here's what I learned. See, you pray a little different when you don't have anybody but Jesus. I said, when you don't have anybody but Jesus, you pray a little different. You praise just a little different when you don't have nobody but Jesus. When it feels like there's no one else that understands. Do you? Can you imagine the lonely nights that Leah spent in her own home? The nights that Jacob and Rachel were together and she was alone, knowing that he loved Rachel and rejected her. But she had to stay. Come on, somebody. There was no one to understand, no one to counsel her, mm-hmm. no one to say, I get it, mm-hmm. no one to even say, I don't understand, but I'm praying for you. Come on, I'm there. Nothing. See, you pray a little different when it's just me and you, Jesus. See, you see where the enemy messed up when he put Paul in prison is he put Silas in there with him. That's where he messed up. So we could have somebody to say, come on, Silas. We ain't got nothing better to do. We're stuck here. We're bleeding. We've been beat. We ain't going nowhere. Let's just praise him. Let's just praise him. They didn't praise him to bring the walls down.
Right. Right.
They didn't say, let's praise him so the jailhouse will shake and the walls will come down and we'll get out of here. They just praised him because that was all they had to do. It was just them and Jesus. Come on, somebody. When we praise him, come on, not to get a response, not to get the breakthrough, but we praise him just because he is who he is. And even though we don't feel him, we know it's just you. Him, you praise him for that. That's when something begins to change. Something begins to happen. My God, I feel it. Tell somebody, don't hate being hated. Praise. A little different. See, we see others, and we have witnesses of others who were hated. But it produced blessing.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Hannah was hated by Peninnah. Yeah, we preached on Hannah not too long ago. She was hated by Peninnah. See, Hannah was barren. Yeah. And Peninnah taunted her because Peninnah had babies. Come on. Remember, it was a curse not to be able to give forth a child. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. But, amen. Hannah was loved. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. Hannah was loved. Praise God. But listen, can you imagine Hannah hearing Peninnah's baby's cry in the night? What a feeling when you know that there is such a longing inside of you to birth and to be what you were created to be, for your womb to produce what it was supposed to produce. And there's somebody who's taunting you, tormenting you. Hallelujah. And you're forced to deal with it. And you hear the fruit of her womb cry. And then maybe the next morning she's like, here, Hannah. You want to hold him? You want to feed her, Hannah? Come on, somebody. Imagine that. Doesn't the enemy do that? He'll taunt you. Hallelujah. Oh, Facebook and social media is good for that. Hallelujah. Because you're going through hell. You're about to fall apart. You've lost, amen, a lot. And you're trying to just stay above water. And then, amen, the enemy taunts it in your face. Blessing after blessing after blessing. Breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. You say, here, you want to hold it? Hallelujah. Come on. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. But Hannah, hallelujah, was hated. But God, hallelujah, blessed her. Amen. God took that hate to position Hannah. I've been thinking about that today. I'm about not hating being hated. I got to thinking, Hannah would have been content with being barren had Peninnah not been in the house. You get that?
Yeah.
Did he put that in heavenly terms for you?
That's good.
If I do, that's fine. If the hate had not been there, and the rejection and the resistance had not been there, she could have been content with not giving a child. Come on. But that pushed her to say, I want Oh, come on, somebody. I want what's been promised to me. I'm not going to give up till I get where she got on her face at the altar, prayed so much and cried so hard. Amen, that they thought she was drunk. Hallelujah, they thought she was intoxicated. Hallelujah, but God brought the answer. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. She birthed the prophet who would in turn anoint David, who would be the king to set up the throne. Amen. To make way. Hallelujah. For the King of Kings. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That hate, that treatment will push you to move forward. Come on. Hallelujah. Joseph was hated by his brothers. And it got him in the pit. But God used it to position him to prosper. He used that hate to position Joseph to prosper. And that hate and rejection lasted a while. It wasn't over when he came out of the pit. Come on, somebody. Just when life was going good, he ended up in prison. Ain't that just like life? You don't have to think twice about provision. And then one day, provision is not there. And then you got to think about it. Come on, are you with me? So it lasted a while, but he eventually saw his dream fulfilled. I just feel like, I know this is thrown around lightly, and I don't say this lightly, and I don't say this flippantly. You that know me know that I don't. But I just feel like prophesying to somebody tonight that the dream will be fulfilled. The dream will be fulfilled. So don't hate being hated in the process, because there's an anointing that's going to be birthed. There's an anointing that's going to come out. Hallelujah, the pain. There's an anointing that's going to come out of the struggle. Jesus was hated. The word hate simply means rejected. Jesus was hated. He was rejected. Listen, he was born in Bethlehem. The house of bread, the place of blessing and prosperity, the place where the forefathers were buried in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Nazareth. Nazareth represents rejection. Nazareth was a mostly Gentile city. That's why the Jews looked down on anything in Nazareth. That's why Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? When they said Jesus, they didn't say Jesus of Bethlehem. The demons didn't say Jesus of Bethlehem. Jesus of Nazareth. Because Jesus decided to hang out with those who were rejected, those who were hated. Jesus decided he was going to be acquainted with the pain and the grief and the disappointment. Come on, somebody, so that he can understand. Are you with me tonight? He knows what you're going through, but because of the hate, God is going to bless you. David was hated by Saul.
Yep.
He was hated by Saul, but God had anointed him. Come on, somebody. Leah understood she wasn't wanted. That's another important epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
To understand. Because she kept trying to be loved.
Right.
She didn't make the effort. to be wanted or to be loved more than Rachel. Oh, come on, somebody. You'll get that tomorrow. When you give up trying to change it, trying to make it happen your way. Come on. She understood that she wasn't wanted. It was really clear. But in that season of hate, in that season of rejection, something was born. Something was birthed in that season of hate and rejection, that treatment that she didn't deserve, that treatment that she didn't desire, that she didn't aspire to have. But she stayed with it. She endured. And she was used as Jacob's pretty much a concubine. Come on. And in that season of hate and rejection and pain and disappointment, she conceived. God saw she was hated and he blessed her womb. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Touch your belly. That's where your womb is at. That's where your spiritual womb is at. That's out of your belly, out of your womb. That word belly is translated womb. Out of your womb shall flow rivers of the living water. Touch your belly and say, something is going to be birthed. Something is going to be birthed. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says she had a son. And she named him Reuben. She said, the Lord has seen me. Reuben means look or see in the Hebrew. And then she conceived again. And she had a son. And she named him Simeon. She said, the Lord has heard me. Simeon means hear in the Hebrew. But the blessing wasn't done. Because she conceived the third time. She had another son. She named him Levi. Levi means attached or to walk together in Hebrew. You see what God did from her hate. He told her, I see you, I hear you, and I am walking with you. He positioned her. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? He put her in a position. She understood that there was nothing she could do to change her circumstances.
Right.
So the only thing to do was to endure and trust. But God wasn't done there. Because she birthed a fourth and final son. We know that she named him Judah. And Judah means praise. So after God said, I see you, I heard you, and I am with you, she birthed the praise. Hallelujah. Out of that, and nothing could take that away from her. Forever, those would be her children. We don't hear nothing else about Leah, but what we do hear, hallelujah, is what God birthed out of her season of being hated. Hallelujah, because hallelujah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah became the firstborn of the 12 of the tribes of Israel. And out of those tribes came Moses, came Caleb, and came David. And all out of David, hallelujah, came, amen, the lineage of a man who was named Jesus. He was the Messiah, God with us, Emmanuel, the Lord with us. because Leah trusted and she endured the hate and the treatment, and she waited and trusted and believed that God saw her, heard her, was with her, and she gave him praise. And the Bible says that she never had another child. We don't know anything else about Leah other than she was almost blind, she was hated, and she birthed four sons who became the posterity and the future of why Israel is at odds with the enemy right now. But we stand with the seed of Abraham. We stand with the apple of God's eye. We bless and come on somebody. In this, here's what I need you to understand. I'm going to wrap this up in just a minute. Or two, or three, or four, or five, or 10, 12, 15, 20. Kid. Maybe. It probably won't be 20, but it won't be a minute. It's just a figure of speech to make you feel like you're in control of the situation. To make you feel like you got some say so. I don't want to make you think you are.
Right.
But God wants you to hear today. This treatment that you've been putting up with. You haven't walked away. You haven't divorced the pain. You haven't separated yourself from the struggle. God gave her an anointing that matched her pain. He gave her an anointing that matched her pain. She realized that God saw, he heard, and he was walking with her. And so she chose to praise him for what he brought from her. Here's the thing. She may have never had children because she may have never got married had her father not did what he did. She was weak. She was broken. She was fragile. She was a liability. She was going blind, and her eyes were not going to get better. They were going to get weaker. So any man that married her was going to take on the responsibility of not only taking care of her, but being her vision. Oh, come on, somebody. So she probably would not have been Bubba's pig.
Right.
So she probably would not have had those children had she not been forced to be in the position to be hated by Jacob, only to birth the anointing that came out of her that matched her pain. So don't push back the hate. Are you hearing me? But let it push you. Let it push you. The pain, the struggle, the disappointment, the confusion. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody tonight.
Amen.
The anointing that's going to come, that's going to be birthed because of how you're treated, is going to match your pain. He's going to make the pain pay. He's going to make it be worth it. We sing that old song. We used to sing the song, amen, back in the day. Who the fuck I'd be old enough to say back in the day? That's when you know you're old. Is when you say back in the day, when you talk to your grandkids and like, back when I was a kid, back in the day, 1898, when we didn't have any TV, we had seen that meme that said, I believe when you realize that 1983 was 4 decades ago.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You're like, holy. I'm old. But all depends on who's looking at you. The eyes of my grandkids, I'm old. Through the eyes of somebody who's hit that 50 mark, not so old. Come on. There's only one way to go, and that's forward.
Amen.
Year after year after year. We used to sing that song, it'll be worth it. After all. Child, it'll be worth it. After all. After all of these trials, it'll be worth it. After all. God's going to match your pain. I feel that tonight. He's going to make it worth the hate. She gave us, she birthed the first 4 tribes of Israel. And out of that, again, David was hated. He ran for his life. He had to deal with David. Never asked to be anointed. David never asked to be king. All David did was praise and honor God and gave God permission to anoint him. Gave God permission to position him to be hated, only to posture him to be king. Are you with me? So all those times you praised him when things were good, you were giving God permission to let you be hated on. Oh, come on. That's why you're going through what you're going through now. Not because you've done something wrong. Not because you've been horrible. Now, sometimes that happens. I'm not saying that. That's not always the case.
Right.
Sin will get you in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it will leave you in a lot of pain and a lot of disappointment, a lot of grief, and a lot of sorrow.
Yeah.
But see, you can get out of that by surrendering to Jesus.
Right.
But sometimes we don't get out of it. Because when we stood, when things were good and we were on the mountain and we had our hands up and we had no idea, we said, okay, God, I'm positioning myself to be hated on so that you can bring an anointing out of me that'll posture me. Are you with me? So don't hate being hated. David didn't ask to be anointed. He didn't ask to be king. But he trusted and he stood. And he said, come to the music. I've heard the Lord today speak to my heart. And say, don't hate being hated. Don't spend all your time questioning. We ask why, and I think it's okay to ask why. It's our human nature. But here's the thing. If you don't get an answer, let it go. If you don't get an answer, let it go. Sometimes he'll tell you why. I had a friend. Actually, Karina's uncle. That was a pastor. And building a church. Young. 38, 39. Something like that, I think. Building a church. They were on a Saturday, I believe it was. They were out working. He was on top of a shed that was only 6 feet off the ground by height. And he fell off that shed. And he hit his head.
To make a lot of details short, he never woke up. And the Lord took him. He had one child graduated, four more still growing. Four more, five more. And I remember his wife telling me, we were talking one day, and she said, I was standing at the sink doing dishes. And she said, I just said, Lord, why did you take David? And she said, the Lord said to me, because he was ready. And she said, I've never questioned you again. So sometimes we get an answer. But for me, most of the time, I don't. And I think it's because, for me, because I'm an analytical thinker, and I can think too long, too far, too hard, too much. He knows if I knew why, I'd be trying to orchestrate the details to bring the why to pass. Come on. I know that's what I would be doing. I'd be going, oh, okay, I know why this is going to happen. So I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this. So at the end of the day, even though I would be sincere, would I be truly sincere in everything that I did to make it happen, or would it be just to get through it and to see the answer? So tonight I heard the Lord say, don't hate being hated. We're in a really, really, really extremely critical time in our world, especially our country. The spiritual climate is, it's on high alert. And anything that has to do with God and the truth is rejected. It's hated. That's what it's supposed to be. The world's not supposed to love truth. They're not supposed to love the things of God. They're not supposed to understand those of us who have been redeemed and have been loved and laid in the lap of our Heavenly Father and been restored and renewed and delivered and set free. They're not supposed to understand that. Some of them, their eyes are veiled so they can't understand it. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They rejected me, they're going to reject you. Don't hate being hated. And don't be hateful when you're hated. Come on, that'll preach later. Don't be hateful when you're hated. But know that out of that rejection, of that resistance, there's an anointing that's going to be birthed out of you. And God's going to make it match your pain. He's going to make it worth it, not when we get to heaven, but when we get the breakthrough. I want to say that. It's going to be worth it when we get to heaven. Amen. Praise God. And I believe, hallelujah, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Amen. Which have come to try you. It's going to be glory revealed in us. Stand here across this way. Don't hate being hated. You're not alone in feeling alone. You're not alone in feeling abandoned. You're not alone in feeling like you're being mistreated in the spirit. Come on. Leah did her duty. She showed up for Jacob. Come on. She was what Jacob needed her to be when he needed her to be it. And that's all God's asking of us. And in that process, she birthed four. Come on. She birthed. So all you got to do is show up. Be what God needs you to be when he needs you to be. Even when you don't feel like being it. You can imagine how many times she laid there for Jacob, knowing he hated her, but it was her duty. It was what she was supposed to do. These next 4 weeks of fasting, I promise you, you're going to feel like it's not doing any good. You're going to feel like that your sacrifice is in vain. You're going to feel like that 24 hours feels like 72. And that you haven't ate in 7 days. But it's only been 12 hours. Come on, somebody. I promise you it's going to feel like that. And when you're praying and you show up for prayer meeting, the enemy's going to say, this ain't going to change anything. How many times have you showed up and nothing's changed? I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, that in this season of being hated, hallelujah, don't hate being hated, because God's birthing something in you. Amen. The only door that can be opened comes from God. And when you get to that place, hallelujah, hallelujah. So as they begin to worship, if you're in this place under the sound of my voice tonight, and you happen to be lost, you've not made Jesus your Lord and Savior. You have not repented of your sins and asked Him to be Lord of your life. That chance is here for you right now. Best decision you could ever make is to surrender your life to Jesus. So if you're here tonight and you're considering it,